Week 13 is here. It's a holiday week, so we are bringing the initial crew back together. This week we have our special guest from Florida. Say hi to everybody, Dub.
I prefer Southern Alabama, but I'll take Florida, Dia.
Okay, the Florabama line.
Florida Georgia line, if you will.
Okay, now we're claiming Georgia also. Okay.
Tri-state. All over that region.
And then up north, we have our bundled up buddy, Chuck. Chuck, where are you at tonight?
I'm reporting live from the O, trying to survive our 10 inches of snow over the weekend.
Doug, how much snow have you seen?
How much snow?
Yeah. Anything down there, Florida, Alabama?
Nah, it's 55 degrees and it's a really cold.
What about Georgia?
Georgia? Zero, I don't know. Zero, I guess.
You're the Florida-Georgia line, so.
That's true.
You got to pretend to know the weather there. We have no snow in Texas. Chuck, how much time does it take you to, like, shovel 10 inches of snow off?
I'm a pro at this point. Maybe, like, 45 minutes.
Okay, dude, that sounds like 45 minutes of snow shoveling I would not want to do.
It's a good exercise. Good
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I'd rather be doing other things.
You don't like to work out?
I mean, I can when I want to, but like if I don't have to, I really don't want to go like shovel the garage. Not the garage, but the driveway and all that.
The snow doesn't usually make its way into my garage.
That's if you don't shovel a lot, then it does.
I actually like shoveling snow. There's something stimulating mentally about making the clear lines in the driveway over and over again.
Okay. I don't know about that.
Okay.
That comes from somebody that lives down south and never has to actually shovel snow.
That's true.
So you guys want to talk about our games last week? They were awesome, mentally stimulating. We all pretty much had bad weeks except for two of us. So last week, Sarah went ahead and picked games for Kirch again because he's just hitched his wagon there and keeps trying. I thought it was a one-week thing, but we're now in week four of it. Sarah got six of – how many games did we have last week? 11? Let me look.
10,
yeah. Sarah got six of 10 games last week, right? So her and Kirch got 6 points. Uncle Brett and Caitlin got 5 last week. Griff, Chuck, and me got 4. Sally and Callie got 3. And Whitney the White Lion got 2 games right last week.
Whitney. Ooh, that's a stinker.
Dia, can you give the podcast listeners an update on the White Lions t-shirts? Have you talked about that on the podcast at all?
Yeah, we've talked about it. So Whitney was gifted 2 shirts from Dub. One was a white t-shirt with the white tiger, and the other was a black t-shirt with the tiger. And she wore them around a couple of days, but then one day when we were going to Waco, we put one on the dog and put that on Instagram. So that was probably, I think, our most liked picture on Instagram to date yet. So now Charlie wears it around the house every now and then. We put it on her, and she kind of runs around. So,
Charlie.
Thank you, Dub.
What can I say? I'm the king of Instagram.
Are you on Instagram?
Yeah, but I only follow the hot models.
Oh, okay. That would explain why you don't follow our dog.
Dub's only on there to creep.
Sarah's kind of having that Colin Cowherd hot streak he had a couple years ago. That's kind of what Sarah's on.
Sarah's definitely making some moves, yeah. I don't know about Cowherd's streak, but Sarah's like won 4 the last 5
Cowherd's had one good year in like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Dub, were you agitated when Cowherd got bumped today for Champions League soccer?
I was a little agitated. I record his show every day, this TV show, so I get to watch him and his hot blonde assistant, whatever her name is, Christy Leahy or whatever.
What about the Lebatard show?
Yeah, I'm still rocking that. You know, my radio hero, Stu Gatz. I still worship him every day.
Do you like him in Colin's old time slot?
I do, yeah. I think, yeah, they go well there. Stu Gatz, man, he's funny. That's a funny show. They're funny because they're so bad.
Think Stu Gatz will get his own show?
No,
Stu Gatz doesn't work by himself. He needs a – he's always going to be –
he feeds off Lebatard.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm. Or it's Lebatard. Like Mike and Mike.
Yeah.
Can't do one without the other.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, because then it would just be the show called Mike.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yep.
Yep.
That right, hot fellas, sports let's fact go over was last week's by games. Waco Payway.
Waco Payway is still holding it down.
Brought you that hot take sports fact from Dia there.
So last week, our very first game we had was Baylor went to Stillwater to face Oklahoma State. The game was a pick 'em. And Dub, you probably watched a lot of this game. Tell us about it.
I did. I was actually at a buddy's house from work who was an Oklahoma State grad. And we hadn't won there since, what, was it 1939, I think, Dia?
Something like that, yeah.
So I put $500 in my poker winnings on Oklahoma State, straight up win, as emotional insurance. And I thankfully did not have to cash in that insurance policy since we actually kicked their butt. We just destroyed. Would you say we destroyed them? I would.
Yes, I think we dominated.
Dominated them. What do they have? 8 yards of rushing? Holy cow.
Yeah.
So I tried to not get too excited because I didn't want to piss my buddy off, but at the same time, I was giving him the silent middle finger in my mind. So, yeah, it was satisfying. I was surprised to see Johnson come in and throw the deep ball like that.
Yeah, so Baylor's now at their third string quarterback, Chris Johnson, who back in fall camp had moved to wideout. Now he's back at quarterback, and we'll start the TCU game this week. But, I mean, yeah, you mentioned the 8 yards rushing. The crazy part was, like, Baylor did that with the three-man front, which I thought was even more impressive. Since they lost Bo Blackshear, they're just going with Oakman, Billings, and Jamal Palmer, and that's what they used to shut down the rushing attack. So
it's because Bennett knows how to disguise those blitzes.
Mm-hmm. He's actually pretty good at that part.
No, he's awful at it.
No, he's not.
Dude, when he blitzes, sends the house and tells everybody he's sending the house. He's the worst disguised blitz ever.
Well, Oklahoma State didn't figure that part out then.
Who is the most talented defensive lineman on our team?
Andrew Billings.
Billings.
I agree.
Dude's a beast. Maybe in our podcast notes this week, I'll put the link to like Andrew Billings' huddle film from high school where he's just chucking fools. That's like still the funniest highlight video I've seen from a high school kid. All right, our next game. Michigan was a 4-point favorite going to Penn State. Chuck, you were very vested in this game.
I would say I was more vested in that Baylor game, but I did watch this Penn State-Michigan debacle. Dude, Penn State's garbage. They just suck. They have a decent defense. They have the worst offensive line I've ever seen. Christian Hackenberg, even if he had 7 seconds to throw it, he'd still hang on to it. And Michigan just kind of ran away with it in the end.
Yeah, that Penn State offensive line is terrible, and like their offense just doesn't seem to have a clue. Like they don't seem to try until third down. So.
I can't think of a more overrated recruit out of high school than Hackenberg.
Off the top of my head, I can't either. That dude just is not good.
Nope.
But
still going to be drafted.
Nope. Texans will take him.
Yep, Bill O'Brien is just licking his chops like he's got to be better than Hoyer.
Mm-hmm.
Bob's going to take him.
Chuck, tell the viewers how much money you wagered in one non-Baylor game.
I wagered a nice $1,400 on Baylor to win.
Ooh-wee!
Put my money where my mouth was, saying Oklahoma State's garbage. You're finally right. Paid off.
Yeah, it really did for you if you're throwing $1,400 at the game. Is that your biggest bet all year?
Yep, that was my bet of the year. Are
you going to do the same thing versus TCU this week?
Nope.
Okay. Our third game was...
Too many unknowns.
Our third game last week was Memphis was a 1.5 favorite going to Temple. And Temple just blew them out from the get-go. The game ended up 31-12. Memphis.
That's all we need to know. No more talking about the American Conference. We're done.
Because what's your tagline about the American?
I don't give two shits about the American. Next.
All right. So going back to Chuck's favorite conference from college was the Pac-12. UCLA went to Utah. Utah was a 2.5-point favorite. Let's go with Dub. Did you watch any of this one?
No, I didn't. I didn't see this one at all.
I watched a little bit of it.
All right,
so Utah, just kind of the same plain vanilla, solid defense. Can't really do a whole lot on offense. Kind of ran the ball, ran the clock. Kicked a bunch of field goals, and UCLA just kind of – just too much talent on UCLA compared to Utah. I think the final score was 17-9. UCLA easy winner.
Yeah, UCLA was a better squad, just on both sides of the ball. Our next game, LSU went to Ole Miss. LSU, just like, again, they got smashed again. Like another double-digit loss. They lost 38-17 versus the Rebels. Just they can't figure out offensively what they need to do to get going.
Well, we can't figure out defensively how to stop anybody either.
Well, no, that's true. But also, like, offensively, like, when you're throwing the ball 51 times to Brandon Harris, I don't really think that's a great game plan.
Should be pretty good when John Chavis strolls in this weekend.
Yeah, actually, it's going to open up their offense wildly.
Well, John Chavis is the reason their defense was good at LSU.
I know, but John Chavis is also, like, he's done better at A&M than what they have in years past, but A&M's defense still isn't good.
No.
Like, Leonard Fournette's going to run all over A&M's defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, should make their offense look a little bit better.
I would caution LSU fans to reference Nebraska, what happens when you fire a coach that's relatively very successful.
Exactly.
I mean, I would reference, look at Oklahoma wanting to get rid of Bob Stoops last year, and look where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, hell, even after the Texas game, like, what if we get rid of Bob Stoops? And I don't know where they'd go. And, like, if you're LSU, if you make the move and you don't get Jimbo Fisher, everything else is probably is a downgrade.
Even Jimbo Fisher.
I mean, the guy is 110-32, and so what? So you get mad at him that he can't consistently beat Nick Saban? Well, guess what? Nobody else can. Urban Meyer is the only one.
Yeah, and as Will pointed out earlier this week to me, like, on a text, like, other than Nick Saban and LSU and Les Miles, LSU hasn't been anything in about 30 years prior to that.
That's a good point. Everybody thinks there's some juggernaut forever and ever.
Yeah, so be careful what you wish for, LSU. Next game, Chuck, your Big Ten squads. Northwestern went to Wisconsin. Wisconsin was an 11-point favorite.
The only thing I know about this game is, so there was a bunch of snow going down in Madison, and they were, the fans were throwing snowballs at their own cheerleaders.
It's messed up.
Other than that, I know Northwestern won the game. Wisconsin had a chance to score right at the end of regulation, and they got stuffed at the 1 yard line.
Another great Big Ten game that was 13-7.
Mm-hmm.
Great defense. So the defense wins championships.
So what's Northwestern going to win this year?
Championships.
Okay. So Northwestern got the cover. Our next game, most of us probably watched. Sparty went to Ohio State. Ohio State was a 13-point favorite. Dub, what do you have to add on this one?
I actually did not watch that game. I got really wasted and passed out.
Okay, and you woke back up for the Baylor game?
Hashtag married life, yeah. No, that's what it was. I was actually watching the Baylor game and getting really wasted.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Ohio State's offense was just shut down. They had about 140 yards of offense. Ezekiel Elliott
132.
I was in the area. Ezekiel Elliott had 13 carries and let the world 12. Know about it. Still in the ballpark. And then Sparty had two backup quarterbacks who alternated back and forth if it was running or passing down, essentially. And they ended up going into Columbus and getting the win. It's Urban Meyer's first Big Ten loss in 3 years. So Sparty gets the win on a last-second field goal. And now they control their destiny in the Big Ten. So, we covered that one.
Do you guys think Michigan State's that good? I don't know how good they are.
No.
They beat Michigan on a fluke, one in a million.
The best team in the Big Ten right now is Michigan.
No, I still think it's Ohio State. It's the best team.
Guess we'll find out this weekend.
But they lost the game that mattered. So, I mean, that's the thing. Michigan State plays to the level of their opponents. But they played their best in the most important game of the year, and that's really what matters.
Yep.
That Oregon win's looking a lot better and better every week.
As Vernon Adams figures out how to play football, yeah.
Not used to that D1 football.
No, we'll get to him in a second. Mississippi State went to Arkansas. Arkansas was a 3.5-point favorite. Chuck, I think you bet on this game, right?
Yep, I had some good money on Mississippi State in this game in real life. Mississippi State, I think, scored on like their first four or five possessions. They scored touchdowns. Took a pretty big lead. They were up by 17 in the first half. Start of the second half, they did everything wrong. Turnover after turnover. Fumbled the opening kickoff, threw a pick, and let Arkansas score like 21 straight points. But then Mississippi State came back, took the lead, and Arkansas came down with a chance to kick a field goal as time was expiring. Mississippi State's, I think they blocked it.
Yeah, they blocked a 29-yarder.
And so Mississippi State won. I think the final score was 51-50.
Yep.
And so they covered in a very high-scoring game. Dude, Arkansas's defense is atrocious. They give up like 40 points a game.
Yeah, I mean, that's how Tech could win. All right, our next game, which actually came down to the wire, which everybody also thought was over after the second quarter, was TCU went to Oklahoma. Oklahoma was a 7-point favorite. Oklahoma was running away with it early. TCU kind of battled back, and then Baker Mayfield got knocked out of the game with a concussion. TCU then switches quarterbacks to their third string, essentially. He comes in, starts firing darts. They score with about a minute to go. They're down one at that point, I believe, and they go for two for the win, and they don't get it because they couldn't convert it. So they end up losing to Oklahoma by one.
You know what really screwed TCU in this game is earlier
– quarterback?
After that. Okay. Earlier, I think it was in the third quarter, they decided to go for two and didn't get it.
Yeah.
Whereas if they would have just kicked the extra points both times, they would have won by one.
Yep, don't overthink it on the road.
Take the points when you can.
Take them every time unless you need it.
Matt, what do you think about Gary Patterson?
So my wife hates Gary Patterson. That's all I've heard this last month is how fat and sweaty and nasty and mean Gary Patterson is and how wonderful Art Briles is. So
no bias really, in this opinion, huh?
No bias, and Caitlin cannot wait for us to destroy Patterson is what she calls him.
Happy wife, happy life, right?
That's right.
All right, so our last game for last week was USC went to Oregon. Chuck, did you watch your Ducks?
I saw a little bit of it. I was watching some of the other games on at the same time. I actually thought Oregon was going to kind of fall off after the big win against Stanford, but Oregon looked very impressive, just completely moving the ball up and down the field and actually slowed down USC's offense, which I was surprised, but Oregon dominated that game. I don't know what the final score was, but they won by like 20. Yeah, so 30 almost.
Yeah, Vernon Adams looked good again. I don't know if anybody wants to play Oregon right now. I mean, they're just on fire. Vernon Adams last week threw for 407 yards.
I'll tell you this, Oregon State doesn't want to play him this week.
Oregon State doesn't want to play many people. I mean, Oregon State, not a good football
team. Does Oregon still have a chance to play for the Pac-12 title?
I don't think so.
Because they have two losses. Oh, because Stanford only has one loss. They lost to the mighty Northwestern out of conference.
Championships.
Yeah, so Stanford. Okay, Stanford will be it there then.
Yeah, unless. Oh, no, Stanford's done conference.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're done. Yeah, they just got another game.
All right, so those are our games from last week. So Sarah wins again. Kirch, keep riding her coattails, I guess. Heading into the last week and a half, basically, of the season, because like I guess we got a week 14, but there's not that many games. So heading into the last 2 weeks, week and a half, whatever you want to call it.
Don't forget about bowl season, do you?
True. But bowl season, we still got to figure out if we're going to have all bowl games or just the best ones, because there's a shitload of bowl games. We'll figure that out, though. Chuck has 77 points overall. Sally is in second with – shoot, I hit Sally's name. Hold on. Sally is second with 69 points overall. I have 67 points. Whitney, the white line, has 64 points. Kirch is 58. Sarah has 53, along with Uncle Brett. So Chuck is pretty much going to coast this thing unless Sally can run him down. But Sally, you're going to have to do better than three this week.
Picked up a game on him going four.
Yeah, it's not a good sign for Sally's prospects. So last week in bets, I bet on four different games. I hit three of them. Problem is I lost my biggest bet of the week. I put 400 Oklahoma State. Chuck also bet on four games. He hit two of his four.
The American saved me. Temple, yes.
So last week I won $145. Chuck lost $236. So our running totals for the year is I'm still in the negative -882, and Chuck has now won $10 on the season.
Yeah, they call it gambling, not winning.
That's right. Uncle Brett's words of wisdom to live by. Sally last week lost all $1,000, so there's that going for him. And Griff, I initially miscalculated his total, but his actual total was Griff hit two of his three games, and he won $63 last week.
So Will's got a pretty impressive resume when guest picking. He has the absolute worst week and the absolute best week.
Yeah, and so of the 3 weeks he's done, two of the weeks are the absolute worst weeks. So he now has two on the board for that.
Well, no, his negative -418 is not the absolute worst.
His what? Oh, that's right. Sorry. I forgot. I thought he put all 1,000 on Clemson. Just kind of funny because he only missed that game by half a point, and we thought, oh, maybe Clemson's not that good. And here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah, right, pretty
so
good.
Dub, your first time you're on the podcast, you hit your you put $1,000 on one team and it hit. So you are right now number two at 909. So if you bet a money line or something this week and you hit all that, you got a chance to get number one on the board again.
Mm-hmm.
So something to think about.
Something to think about.
I got a surprise pick.
Uh oh. All right, so Ohio off State. The board picks last week, the three of us who actually made them actually hit. I took BC as plus 16.5 versus Notre Dame. Chuck took Va Tech plus 6.5 versus UNC. And Griff took A&M minus 7. Sally wavered a little bit. He first had Notre Dame, but he took that off the board. So all three off-the-board picks did hit.
So Lil took his off-the-board pick off the board.
He did. He got scared off by those green Shamrock uniforms and worked out well for him. All right, so before we get into this week's games, we haven't talked Heisman yet this year.
Dude, what about a Brunch Bowl update?
I don't have a Brunch Bowl update because, the same teams that I need to still not make a bowl haven't made a bowl. So we're still good on that front. I'm still holding out hope that Nebraska can be in the Brunch Bowl along with Tulsa. And, who else did I have? Arkansas, maybe?
Smoo.
No, Smooth's too bad.
Arkansas's well into a bowl game.
And by well into a bowl game, you mean they just qualified 2 weeks ago.
A lot of teams just qualified 2 weeks ago.
Well, they're 6-5. It's not like they're 8-3 or something.
Well, they do play Mizzou this week, so I'll put them at 7-5.
Watch out, Mizzou's playing for a bowl. Mizzou might be in the Brunch Bowl.
Oof, that'd be a boring Brunch Bowl.
Oh.
That's the definition of a Brunch Bowl right there.
Put them versus Tulsa? I mean, yeah, that's what we're talking about, the Brunch Bowl. All right, so we haven't talked about Heisman stuff because I don't know if anyone's really, 6 weeks ago would have said Leonard Fournette, don't even ask the question, case closed. But now I'm not entirely sure. I don't know if anyone's really had a Heisman moment. So who would you right now, if you had three people to invite to New York, who do you guys invite?
That's a good question.
Dia.
There's been so many injuries this year. It feels like it's a down year for Heisman hype. I mean,
yeah,
nationwide, no one's really hyping it.
No, because I guess because there's just not those moments people have come up with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would say,
I think we'd agree. Derrick Henry's the favorite.
I would say Deshaun Watson, Derrick Henry. I'm gonna go with Baker Mayfield. You know, I'm forgetting that really deserves to be there. Christian McCaffrey, that guy is a boss.
Yep.
So I take him over. I'll put him in over. I'll put him in over Baker Mayfield.
So I think I'd take Baker Mayfield just because, I don't know, I kind of hold against McCaffrey. I think Royce Freeman's a better back in his own conference.
Dude, no, McCaffrey's better. Royce Freeman is probably better NFL back, but
I don't know. For college, their numbers have been pretty much the same this year.
I'm pulling right now. Christian McCaffrey's overall numbers include his return game and receiving. That guy is a monster.
So I'm not looking at – I don't have return game stats, but what are receiving and rushing right now, Royce Freeman is at, 1,800 yards.
So McCaffrey is at 1546 running.
Yeah, McCaffrey's got more.
He's got way more than that.
Yeah, he's got more than I thought. He has 416 receiving. So he's got, hell, he's almost got 2,000 yards total. Yeah, okay. So I'd take him over Royce Freeman. Scratch my comments from the record. But I still think Baker Mayfield may get there over him just because he's a quarterback. Especially if Oklahoma wins the conference.
Mm-hmm. He's averaging 31 yards a kickoff return.
That's crazy. Lee Hawthorne doesn't know how to do that.
Lee Hawthorne, we're just lucky if he can catch the damn football.
But Baker Mayfield's got 3,200 yards, 69% completion, 33 touchdowns, 5 picks.
I probably think Baker Mayfield's probably being over McCaffrey, but I feel like McCaffrey doesn't get enough love, and that guy's a star.
That might be true. I've only probably seen him play 2 games this year just because I never stay up to see him play.
Dude, I'm always up watching Pac-12 after dark.
Actually, hell, it looks like, I mean, Baker Mayfield, if he should be in over Deshaun Watson number-wise.
Yeah, I mean, I would pick Mayfield over. So if I were voting today, let's assuming everybody just keeps winning out, I'd pick Baker Mayfield as my Heisman.
He's got 39 total touchdowns, 3 interceptions, or is it 6? Hold on.
Deshaun Watson's stats aren't that great. I mean, they're not bad, but they're not like Heisman worthy. But
he's
like
got 35 total touchdowns.
It's kind of like
picks.
Boring to watch him. And they're just winning every game.
Yeah. Kind of like Navy's guy, Keenan Reynolds.
We don't include American. They don't count.
I mean, Reynolds is a good Navy quarterback, but the only reason he's getting love this year is because his record's better. Every other year, his numbers have been better statistically.
We're not talking about the American. Keep moving.
Okay, so we're done there.
Done there.
All right. We'll keep it moving.
Nothing to see.
So we'll let you lead off the first game because we know you have some heavy feelings. So our first game next week, this week we're going to preview is Baylor is a 1.5-point favorite at TCU. We should point out the line has gone off the board right now because of injuries to both quarterbacks. So Doug, we'll let you take it from there.
So this is a tough one, but I think that this is where our offensive line can really win the game. They're going to pound the rock and wear TCU down. So I take Baylor. Do we cover? I don't know. I think we might win by one.
we're pretty narrow margin for error there.
We win? Okay, so you take TCU to cover if you think we win by one?
What is the line?
TCU? 1.5.
Plus 1.5 TCU?
Yeah.
I would take TCU to cover.
by the one. We win by one.
21-20 Baylor.
Low score. Okay. Whoa. I don't think any of these games are ever going to be that low score. That may be like the end of the first quarter score.
Not if you have no quarterback.
Well, Trayvon Boykin's most likely playing, isn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I am a root for Baylor, Boykin's going to have a field day against our defense. So us having to play Chris Johnson, I mean, I think we have a better defense than TCU does. I think we'll have a hard time stopping Trayvon Boykin. I mean, I'm torn on this one. I'm going to go with the TCU. But it's a toss-up to me. I just got to lean with the better quarterback.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, I think Trayvon Boykin is going to play. Of course, Gary Patterson thought he was going to play last week, and that didn't happen. So I'm not entirely sure. The game is supposed to be a mess. It's supposed to be raining. It's supposed to be cold. Baylor doesn't play well in the rain. What's also concerning me is Shaq Linwood's probably out. So Devin Chafin and Johnny Jefferson are going to have to tote the rock for Baylor.
Old Johnny boy?
Yeah, the real Johnny football, as Kirch likes to call him. Chris Johnson's got a huge arm. I actually think he's probably more college-ready than Stidham is at this point.
Did you know Shaq Linwood's real name is Rashadrick?
I did. Chuck, don't bring that weak stuff in here.
Yeah, Chuck, get out of here.
Get out of there. So, I don't know. I mean, my heart says I want Baylor to win, but in Fort Worth, It's a short week. I think TCU is probably going to win, but just to be different, I'm going to say Baylor can win this game. So give me the Bears. I don't have anything football-wise to say why they should win, except I just think the defensive front, especially if you're playing a three-man front, it gives you another guy to be able to spy Boykin, and maybe that can help slow him down. Oh, also, I think one thing to watch is going to be the TCU starting center for the last 3 years is out, so he gets to take on Andrew Billings, essentially one-on-one, so he should have lots of fun with that.
That's going to be a big advantage.
Yeah. So I'm taking the Bears. I don't really have much football-wise, except I just think Baylor can overcome and just do the damn thing.
Do the damn thing.
Chuck, I'll let you talk about the next one since you love the American. Navy goes to Houston. It's also off the board, but we have Houston as a one-point favorite.
Houston, done.
Duh.
Dude, I'm anti-Houston, so I'm biased. They're gonna get wrecked.
But you're in the Air Force. So does that mean you want Navy to win?
Oh, I hate Navy, too. Houston.
Next. All right, so the reason the line's off the board is because Greg Ward may or may not play. Last week, U of H used a different quarterback because Greg Ward had an ankle problem. That guy left the game, so they had to call Greg Ward off the bench, Willis Reed style. He brought them closer to UConn, but they couldn't close the deal. So he's still day-to-day. He'll probably play. How healthy he is, I don't really know. Navy and Houston are almost identical in metrics. Both teams get turnovers. But Navy's going to run the ball, and Houston is just going to have to keep riding Greg Ward. I like Navy to win the game outright in Houston. I just think that they're going to be more consistent offense, and I don't know what we're going to get without Greg Ward. So I'm taking Navy. Matt, we're going back to where all your relatives love to root for. We have Iowa going to Nebraska and the Cornhuskers.
Dude, as much as I think Iowa is overrated and they're so vanilla, Nebraska has been so inconsistent this year. I got to take Iowa. I think they're going to be pumped up. They're number 4 in the rankings now, and I think they'll beat Nebraska.
Shuckster?
Nebraska all day. I've been telling you guys all year, Nebraska will make a bowl game. I said that they would beat either Iowa or Michigan State. They took care of Michigan State. I think they take care of Iowa as well. Nebraska rolls.
I think Iowa's due for a loss at some point. It just hasn't come yet. Nebraska's coming off a bye and they need a win, like you said, for a bowl game. Nebraska can actually consistently score, which is something that lots of Iowa teams recently haven't been able to do. So I think that's one thing that's going to give them a leg up. Tommy Armstrong's going to need a big day. But also Desmond King for Iowa is one of the finalists from the Thorpe Award, so he needs to avoid him. But Iowa just turns people over. They're iffy on pass defense. That's where Nebraska's got to attack them, though, in the rest of the secondary. That's not named Desmond King. Iowa just runs the ball, and they consistently move the chains. So I think I think Iowa is going to win this game. I think Nebraska is not going to make a bowl.
Boo.
Nebraska should have stayed in the Big 12. Worst decision they ever made.
Mm-hmm. Yep, now they've got to recruit against people like Iowa, and Iowa's apparently better at running straight forward than they are. So.
Mm-hmm.
Can't teach those white guys directions or complicated plays. Just hit the guy in front of you.
Exactly.
All right, next game, pretty big playoff implications in the Big Ten country also, and bragging rights between two major schools. Ohio State goes to Michigan. I guess I'll talk about this one first. So Ohio State last week takes their first loss. I don't know. I don't have much. I just think that Urban Meyer isn't going to lose back-to-back games. But also, I think Michigan is just a more disciplined team so far this year. They've played better and more consistently. I'm drawing a blank on the Michigan quarterback's name. Jake Rudock, he's going to throw one pick a game, but so far they've been able to overcome it. Devin Smith, the Michigan running back, is just pretty bad. He hasn't gone over 100 yards since September. He's averaging 3.8 yards a carry in conference. Ezekiel Elliott needs to get the ball. He needs to actually do something with it. He whined last week about not getting touches, but only averaged like 2.8 yards a carry. So, I don't know. I have Michigan winning because I think they're a better team. I think Ohio State's a little pumped up, but I don't know. In the back of my mind, I just don't think Urban Meyer's going to lose two games. But I'm taking Michigan to win this game as a pick, and is what we have it at.
So I go back and forth on this one. I think it's a tougher game. Where I fall is I think Ohio State's the more talented team. I think they're a better team. I'm not really sure where their head's at after the Michigan State game. Ezekiel Elliott says he's going pro. Cardale Jones is going pro. Just kind of feels like the wheels are falling off for them just because they lose one game. Michigan, I feel like they've kind of peaked. They've reached their ceiling with the talent level they have right now. So they're not as good as Ohio State, but because of Jim Harbaugh, they play a lot more disciplined. I can see this game going either way, but I'm going to take Ohio State and just go with the better talent. And I think they'll make sure to feed Zeke the ball this week.
Yeah, I agree. I think Ohio State's going to blow Michigan out. I think Ohio State's going to be super focused. Urban can finally get their attention because they finally got beat for the first time in his tenure. And I think they're going to roll them. I'm going to call it 48-21 Ohio State.
Wow.
Upset pick of the week, even though it's not an upset.
The semi-upset pick of the week.
There you go.
All right, let's head to the Iron Bowl. Alabama's a 14-point favorite going to Auburn. Is there a kick six in the future, Matt?
Dia, this is my upset pick of the week for real, though. I think Auburn, well, they're going to cover. I don't think they're going to win, but I think it's going to be close. Rivalry game, all these Alabama kids know each other. It's going to be at Auburn. Everybody hates Alabama down here. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to come down to like a field goal.
Chucky?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with exactly what Matt said. Kind of one of those rivalry throw the records out, doesn't mean anything type game. I think Bama's going to win. They're the better team. But two touchdowns is a lot of points. I think I'm going to take Auburn to probably lose by 10 points. So give me the points here.
Man, I thought I was going to have the unique pick with Auburn here, but I guess we're going to make it a threes company thing. I think Auburn, like you guys are saying, I think their offense has been underrated for the last couple weeks. They've gotten better. Javon Robinson has become a good change of pace guy for Peyton Barber. Their run defense is crap, so Derrick Henry is going to get his. But what goes unnoticed is Alabama goes three and out about 25% of the time, which is good for 86th in the country. So if you can get possessions away from Alabama, somehow you're able to kind of keep the game closer. It's a rivalry game. They're always closer. So I'm taking Auburn to also cover the 14. Next game is also rivalry. It's all hosted there in L.A. UCLA stays at home and goes to USC. Chuck, you're a big Bruin fan growing up. Do your Bruins end up covering the 3.5?
They do not.
Whoa.
Well, USC is technically the 3.5-point favorite, but USC is going to cover. I went with them last week thinking their offense was going to roll and beat up on Oregon. Maybe I was just a week too early on that, so I'm going to stick with my guns and say USC's offense is going to be too much for UCLA to handle. I think if USC can kind of slow down Paul Perkins, they can get Josh Rosen into making some mistakes. I'm going to go with USC in this one.
I think the same thing. I think USC's got too much talent right now for UCLA. I don't know anything about UCLA, so I trust Will. Will's expert, so I'll take USC.
All right. I'm actually going with UCLA. I think they're the better team, again, on both sides of the ball. Paul Perkins is a pretty good back for UCLA.
You think they have a better offense than USC?
I think they have a more consistent offense than USC, which I think is going to win.
I mean, I agree UCLA has a better defense, but...
Yeah, I think their offense is more consistent. Cody Kessler is a high percentage guy, but he hasn't been over 300 now in 5 games. Justin Davis has become more explosive than Ronald Jones. They've been shifting him more in the backfield for USC and kind of getting him more touches. But outside, I like the weapons that Josh Rosen has. I think that they allow him to stretch the field more with Jordan Payton and Thomas Durrett. So, yeah, I think UCLA is a better offensive team when it comes to consistency and scoring points more effectively. So I think UCLA, if you're going to say that they're almost 4-point dog, I think they're going to cover that, and I think they actually win.
You guys think Kessler's an NFL quarterback?
I think he'll make a roster.
I don't think he's a starter.
Who's the who do you think's the most NFL ready college kid?
Oof. Connor Cook.
Jared Goff.
You think he's NFL ready?
A freshman? No way.
Goff's the junior.
Oh, the junior from Utah?
Yeah, from Cal.
Cal.
Who's the Utah one?
Dude, that guy, Travis Wilson sucks. He's bad.
I was thing in the fresh, doesn't UCLA?
Josh Rosen. Yeah, he's a freshman at UCLA. Gotcha. That's Chuck's new version of Johnny Manziel.
Steady. Oh, Manziel, third string this week for partying. Sorry for partying.
Dude, that guy's going to get cut.
The Browns coach.
JFF is a boss.
He is a boss.
Boss.
Johnny fucking football.
Whoa, no swearing.
Chuck, we'll kick it back to you for Big Ten football. Penn State goes to Sparty. The line again is off the board because of, you guessed it, injuries. But before it went off the board, Sparty was an 11-point favorite.
Yeah, so I think the assumption is Connor Cook's going to play this week. I'm going to go with Penn State. Not real confident in that pick. I think Sparty's defense is going to have just a field day going after Hackenberg. But I think there's also kind of an emotional letdown after beating Ohio State. Kind of one of the things we talked about before is Michigan State plays to the level of their opponents. They haven't really blown anybody out, really. I'm sure they have, but for the most part, they don't blow out teams. Let Rutgers, let Indiana, let Purdue all hang around. I think that's kind of what you're going to see here in this situational spot. Give me the double digits, 11 points to cover for Penn State.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. 11
Dude,
points.
You're either with me or you're not. You know, there's no kind of here.
Well, I can kind of be with you. I mean, I can kind of hang around there. I don't know. Penn State's offense is just awful. Like I said earlier, they have no idea what they're doing. Michigan State's defense last week looked amazing. Can they do the same thing again this week? I don't know. But if you're going to give me 11 points to figure it out, I'm going to take Penn State. Penn State's hung close because of their defense all year. And I think if it's not Connor Cook and the two backups are out there, I think Penn State's defense can keep the game close. Sparty did win at Ohio State last week, but took a last-second field goal. So I don't think they're 10 points better than Penn State as is. So I'm going to take Penn State.
Yeah, I'm going to take Penn State too. That Hackenberg kid, he's got to figure it out at some point.
Yeah, I mean, he's got like cement feet. He just can't move away from anybody.
Nope.
All right, I know Uncle Brett's looking forward to this game. The Egg Bowl goes back to Stark Vegas. Ole Miss is a 1-point favorite going to visit the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Dub, do you want to go to the Egg Bowl one year?
Dude, that town, I was in Starkville 2 weeks ago. That town is a dump. Like, people crap on Waco. Starkville is the dumpiest town. There's nothing going on in that town. There's nothing to do. It is awful.
Did you go to the Bama game that day? I would never want to go
back. We tried to. We walked around the stadium, but the tickets were too much. I'm glad we didn't because it was a bad game.
Yeah. What were you guys doing there, like a training mission?
No, we were getting our commercial pilot's license, and actually, interesting note, we were in the same little FBO at the local airport that the T-38 guys are at, so we heard them talking before they did their flyover of the game.
That's cool.
They had cool stories about how they had never deployed and never done any combat, so I kind of laughed at them.
And Matt, for the people, how many deployments you been on now?
6, going on 7 in February.
Attaboy, Doug.
FML. I wasted half my 20s in Djibouti.
What's the dating scene like in Djibouti? Pre-K.
It's not good.
No prospects out there?
No prospects.
Is it kind of like Startsville?
It's probably
better than Startsville, though.
All right, Dub, who you like, Ole Miss or Mississippi State?
See, here's the thing I don't understand. When you watch Mississippi State people on, like, in the stadium, they're all ugly people. And then Ole Miss, like, what is that, 90 miles away? They're, like, all, like, attractive people. Like, I don't get it.
Will, you're completely right. I saw no good-looking co-eds that whole week we were in Starkville. None. It's kind of like the Texas versus A&M, like, deal.
It's true.
All the hot chicks go to Texas.
Well, yeah, she'd rather go hang out in Austin than college.
Although exactly. Katie did go to A&M.
Shout out to Katie. But, yeah, there's nothing in Starkville.
Is there a football team that's worth watching?
Starkville kind of reminded me of the Grapes of Wrath novel. That's kind of what I felt like. Like a Steinbeck novel. But to answer your question, Dia, I think Mississippi State at home, I think they will beat Ole Miss. Dak Prescott's actually a pretty good quarterback.
Yep. I think he's the best quarterback in the SEC, so which isn't saying much this year. But, yeah, Dak's very good.
Kyle Allen, best quarterback, SEC.
He's kind of starting to get that Christian Hackenberg deal where he doesn't throw the ball on time.
I haven't watched him the last couple weeks.
He's playing last week. You can watch him versus LSU this week. We'll get to that game here in a second.
Is Kyle Allen, is he their short, little, fast quarterback?
No, it's Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray's garbage.
That guy? Has he played at all?
He's garbage.
He's gotten benched the last week, I think, 2 weeks. They bench everybody. Like they can have a good game or whatever, then they bench him. All right, so Ole Miss at Mississippi State with Dak Prescott. Let me grab my notes again. I gotta keep moving away from the dog. All right, so both these teams are very similar, just pretty much both ways. Like, neither one has a running back that can do anything. Dak Prescott is the best rushing attack Mississippi State has. Jaylen Walton for Ole Miss isn't that good at running the ball. They can both pass, and they'll both give up a lot of points. So at home, I think Mississippi State can win. I think Ole Miss is probably a better bet if you're just going straight up, because Mississippi State last week almost blew the game until he blocked a field goal. But I don't know. I've gone back and forth on this. I'm going to take Mississippi State to get the win in the end goal.
Yep, I'm with y'all. I think Ole Miss is the overall more talented team. Ole Miss has actually played pretty well the last couple weeks. Well, they had a bye in there. On offense, it's more of everything tells me to go with Ole Miss, more just a gut feeling that I think Mississippi State wins. I always think kind of what we talked about earlier, where Mississippi State is ugly people and Ole Miss is good looking people. Mississippi State always feels disrespected in this rivalry. And so I think they always get up for this game a little bit more than Ole Miss does.
Why would you not? You're playing for an egg trophy.
Yeah, you're playing for an egg.
Yeah, you got to do it.
And so that's why I'm going to take Mississippi State here.
I do enjoy a good rivalry week, and this next game is one I grew up with big emotions for and still don't like Florida, but I don't really like Florida State anymore either. But Florida State is a 2-point favorite going to the Swamp to play the Gators. Dub, in Florida, you probably have lots of people who have opinions on this game. What has influenced you?
When I saw Florida almost lose to Vanderbilt in the Swamp, there's no way they're going to beat Florida State. Florida State's going to come in there and just dog pound them.
Yeah, and the Florida Atlantic overtime win last week.
Oh, my gosh. That was in the Swamp, too, right?
Yeah, like, that was
embarrassing. SEC.
Yeah, you can't beat Vandy handedly. You can't beat Florida Atlantic. And Florida State's a better offense than Dalvin Cook. So I'm taking the Noles to cover the two. I think the Noles are probably going to win by about 10 if Treyon Harris can't get anything going offensively for Florida. Their running attack for Florida is still non-existent. Their defense is very good, but at some point you're going to have to put up points against somebody. So I'm taking Florida State to win pretty easily at the Swamp. Sparty on?
No, that's what Florida State does.
I know, but whenever Evan does that, he always yells Sparty on.
Oh. Evan, RIP, moved out of Texas. Life's over. We'll never see him again.
Yeah, apparently he's like living up in Michigan without any power and stuff. And he slept at his house without power when it was like 20 degrees outside for a whole night. I said, why don't you just go somewhere else? So
stay with Stu and Judy, Evan.
So, yeah, his parents' house was available because they were both in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, Chuck, is all you got, the Tomahawk Chop?
So, for the Florida State-Florida game, Florida State just not real impressed with them all year. Florida they started off the season well. They've obviously not played very well lately. Barely hanging on against Vandy. Almost losing to whoever it was. Was that Charleston Southern or
Florida Atlantic?
Florida Atlantic, whatever. Any of those crappy schools. I'm going to say Florida comes out to play a little bit. They've got more on the line than Florida State. I think they are going to come out and play with more intensity after last week. I think one of the big question marks I have for Florida is they have a dentist as their walk-on kicker. Can he make extra points for them? But I just don't know if I see Florida State being able to score against Florida. Even though their offense is not very good, their defense is still one of the top five in the country. I'm going to take Florida to win the game.
Oh, okay. Do you think that Florida fans took it too literal when they were talking about how watching their field goal?
What the hell was that?
Because their kicker was bad. He's a dentist.
Oh, it was like something moving around. I couldn't hear anything.
Probably. I just had to give her some food to get her to stop barking.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good joke, though, D. I like that.
What were you saying?
About how Florida fans, like, they probably thought watching kickers was like pulling
teams. They've been using that one for weeks.
Who's they?
Florida fans.
Well, I don't know them, so I'm in Texas.
Because he first started kicking during the Vanderbilt game. His like first extra point like went like 30 yards wide.
I mean, see, that's the kind of like LSU stuff about quarterbacks and like Florida with kickers. Like, when you're a major program, how can you not find players to play key positions?
Hell, Baylor never punts the ball, and we found a punter.
Yeah, he was like the number one punter in the country last year.
I still don't understand that. If you're the number one punter in the country, why are you going to a school that goes for fourth down all the time and we never punt?
Because he wanted to major in dentistry. I don't know if that's true. I just made that up. So,
I think it was the Penn State game. They punted from the 35-yard line, like going in to score.
They did, yep. That was them.
What the hell?
And then they also kicked a field goal when they were down like 14 or something.
They were down by 8, and they had a fourth and goal at like the 3-yard line with like 8 or 9 minutes left, and they kicked a field goal.
And that's what you deserve to lose.
Uh-huh.
And then Michigan came right back down to score again.
Yeah, after they kicked the field goal, they returned the opening kickoff down to like the Penn State like 30 or 40-yard line. And then scored, put the game out of reach.
Since it's rivalry, let's talk about Michigan's old rival, which I don't think they're playing for a couple more years still. Notre Dame goes to Stanford and Palo Alto. Stanford's a 3.5-point favorite. Anybody want to tackle this one first?
Oh, I got strong feelings on this one. Stanford rolls. Notre Dame, not that great a team. Haven't beat anybody all year. Best wins. When your two best wins of the season are American Conference teams, mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Ooh-wee.
Ooh-wee.
Your best wins are Navy and Temple. And then, obviously, they lost to Clemson. They look uninspired last week against BC, 119-16. Stanford, they're not great on defense. I think they're good enough to slow down Notre Dame. It's at Stanford. I don't think Notre Dame's got anybody that can stop Christian McCaffrey and Kevin Hogan. Give me Stanford in a rout. I got Stanford by 17.
I got him by
18. I'm going to go Price is Right on you. Yeah, I agree with Will. I mean, when your biggest win is Temple, what the heck, dude?
Yeah, I mean, I know Boston College is great defensively, but if you're the number 4 team or whatever the hell they are now, 5 team in the country, you can't be messing around with BC, who's got 2 wins on the year and only winning by a field goal. DeShone Kizer last week looked pretty bad.
BC also gave Florida State some trouble.
Who's saying Florida State's a top 5 team?
I'd say they're top 5.
So you think they're top 10?
I'd say they're top 10, do you?
Okay.
Hell, so I don't think they can even beat number 11 Florida.
That's true. Just picked against that. So they might be number 12 for you. Who knows?
They hit that high either.
CJ Procise has been dealing with a high ankle sprain. He hasn't done much the last 3 weeks. That's their biggest offensive weapon if they can't get Will Fuller the ball. So Stanford, Christian McCaffrey, we've talked about that a couple different times. I think he's going to do well. I think Kevin Holgan's going to play well enough and value the ball and not turn it over. I think Stanford, I'm with you guys. I think they win the game. I think they win it big. I think Notre Dame's playoff chances have come to a close. So we're all taking Stanford to cover the 3.5.
That's the thing, though, with Vegas. When it looks that easy, usually not.
Yeah, I know. So we shall see. But yeah, I just think
we'll all go down in flames together.
Mm-hmm.
True. We're pretty consistent on lots of things. Penn State, Mississippi State and all their uglies.
That's about it, yeah.
That's pretty much Auburn and their uglies. Speaking of uglies, A&M goes to LSU. LSU's a 5.5-point favorite. Is Les Miles coaching for his job, Dub?
Oh, absolutely. They've hated Les Miles for the last couple of years. I don't get the hate. Like, they despise him down there. It's really weird.
I don't either. I mean, he's the best they're going to do.
I mean, I get that he's like a Michigan guy. He's not like from the Bayou. Like, who's the guy out at USC?
Ed Orgeron.
He's not an Ed Orgeron, like, born and raised guy, but he's still a pretty dang good coach. He's not the best coach, but he's still pretty good.
I think he's a top five coach.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean.
Top five.
I'd say top ten.
Yeah. Top five, you're pushing it.
I don't know. Who would you take? So we'll go with Meyer, Saban, Harbaugh?
I would put Art Briles above Les Miles.
Would you?
I mean, that's probably biased, but I mean, yeah, I'd take
Art Briles. I would, because Les Miles gets all that talent.
Jim Harbaugh.
All right, so there's four. Jimbo Fisher, maybe?
I'm not a big Jimbo fan. I'm taking Bob Stoops for sure. Mike D'Antoni for sure.
Yeah, Mike D'Antoni I might take at this point. I don't know if I'd take Bob Stoops over him now, but it's
I like Bob Stoops better than
a lot of people. Well, it doesn't seem like we get to a solid seven.
As much as I dislike TCU, Gary Patterson is a very, very good coach. I would take him over Les Miles.
What about Brian Kelly?
I like Brian Kelly because he's got a temper and he like beats kids up and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I actually don't like him for beating up little kids. No, I actually don't like Brian Kelly at all, but I'll give him respect. He's a good coach. I'd take him over Les Miles, too.
Okay. So it seems like we're about 7-9 is where Les Miles
is. Yeah, I mean, I'd have him in the top 10. I wouldn't have him in the top 5.
Would you take him over Kevin Sumlin?
Yeah, I think
yes.
Sumlin's way overrated.
Sumlin's overrated.
Do you think Sumlin can hang within 5.5 this week?
Who's starting a quarterback for A&M?
Kyle Allen. Kyler Murray's the third string again. That Jake, whatever his name is, the guy who's like second string, that dude must have something on the coaches because he only stays second and everybody else goes from first to third every other week. It's weird.
Dia, can I give you my surprise pick for the next LSU head coach?
Sure.
Lane Kiffin.
No, he ain't doing it.
You think he'd want to go to be in Baton Rouge? It seems like too big of a drop-off for him.
Dude, after everything he's been through and all the like bad stories about him running programs, it'd take an act of God for him to get like a major program job right away.
It'd be a step up from Tuscaloosa. That town's a dump, too.
No, no, but it's like a big job where he kind of just like – he gets the benefit of the doubt because of Saban. I don't know. I think he could go to like Maryland.
Yeah, definitely Maryland.
He's like, Under Armour's going to throw money at that coach, and he'll do that.
True.
Maryland's got money to toss around.
Yep, they don't have anybody to recruit, but they can do that.
Scott Van Pelt.
You going to recruit Scott Van Pelt?
Yeah.
That might work. All right, so A&M at LSU. Who wants to talk about the game?
I'm going to take, in honor of Katie Otkin, my fucking Aggies.
I think LSU is going to destroy A&M. Is it where? It's at LSU, right?
It's at LSU.
It's in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, they're going to be. Is it a day or night game?
It's a night game.
It is a.
I think it's like 6:30.
Where is it? It's a 6:30 kick.
Oh, yeah. Night game, Baton Rouge with all those drunken rednecks down there. I'm going to take LSU.
I got A&M all day. Shout out to Katie.
Katie, are you listening to the podcast? Text me if you do.
I think A&M's going to cover the 6 as much as it pains me to say. It started to look okay. Miles Garrett is a very good player. He's going to help shore up Leonard Fournette from going nuts. But also, the A&M linebacking core and secondary is pretty bad. I think A&M's going to lose this game. I just don't think it's by 6 points. So I'm taking A&M to cover the 5.5. So, comes to our last game of the week.
Bedlam.
Chuck, you think Oklahoma State is still garbage. Do you think they can cover 6.5?
All right. This game, there's a couple things going.
We should also point out this game is off the board again because of Baker Mayfield's health.
I think this game you actually can pick. You can still actually bet it.
Okay, it's back on the board?
Yeah, it's not off the board.
Okay.
But I know the line was like 3 when it first opened because of Baker Mayfield's health. Now it's 6.5 because he's most likely playing. I am going to say OU is the better team. In Bedlam, especially with this much on the line for these two teams, OK State obviously coming off a big loss against Baylor. I think they're going to play a little bit better than they did last week. And in Bedlam, whoever you think's going to win always ends up losing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take OK State. You never know what the weather's going to be like this time of year at Bedlam. It's always like 30 degrees, half rain, sleet type shit going on. I'm going to say OK State wins. They're going to force some turnovers. And this is probably just wishful thinking so that Baylor can win the Big 12. I got OK State not only covering but winning.
Mr. Dove?
Little bias in that opinion.
I kind of agree with Will. I bet. I don't know much about the Bedlam history. I bet this is the most high-stakes Bedlam game in the series history. I can't imagine the game being any higher. But, yeah, I think Oklahoma State for show.
Yeah.
That's my hot take analysis.
For show. Yeah, so Baker Mayfield should be back from his concussion issues. If he is, I think that gives OU, they're just a better offense. But like Will said, Bedlam is just weird every year. The last 2 years, it's gone the other way people have thought. So, I don't know. 6.5 is a lot for Oklahoma. Oklahoma State's pass defense looks pretty bad. We figured that out last week. They couldn't stop the rushing attack, which they're going to need for Samaje Perine and Mixon this week. But I don't really know if they're going to be able – if Baker Mayfield's not 100%, I don't know if they're going to be able to score enough at Stillwater at night. So I'm also going to take Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say, too, for real bettors, if you can get Oklahoma State +7, I'd be all over that.
Yeah. All right. Dub, you took OU, right? Who'd you take?
I took OSU.
OSU, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, fellas. So you got $1,000 to lay. Where do you want to put it? Chuck has an off-the-board pick this week.
Let me double-check, see about off-the-boards. I'm intrigued by Texas at home against Texas Tech, but not enough to actually bet that. I'm also intrigued by Missouri +14 against Arkansas. Those are really two off-the-board bets I would kind of look at. I'm not real confident in either of them, but those are the two other games I think are interesting.
All righty.
Oh, and NC State +6 at home against UNC. Those are three interesting games, but I, again, wouldn't bet it.
All right. The dog's barking, so I guess it means we get to hurry up with our picks.
Dia, can I give you my off-the-board pick?
Go for it.
I'm real, real intrigued about that University of Louisiana Lafayette versus Appalachian State. I would take Lafayette. They're getting 23.5 points at Appalachian State. I would take they'd be my surprise pick.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely a surprise there.
Yep.
All right. So
I don't know what conference they play.
That's worse than talking about the American. You make me want to bring back a talk about Memphis or Temple or some shit like that.
You know what we ought to talk about next time is the Division II playoffs.
Ooh, that could be interesting. That
could be fun. My pick would be South Dakota State.
Not so much.
All right, my off the board pick is I have SMU covering 21.5 versus Memphis.
I thought SMU was supposed to be good this year. They kind of fell off the map.
I mean, they just looked good against Baylor. That was about all they've done. I mean, they were so bad last year when they fired their coach, so.
True.
That all quarterback right, so $1,000 to bet. Where do you guys want it?
If you give me 14 points at home and I can take Auburn, I'm going to take it, especially in a rivalry game. $1,000 on Auburn.
All right.
You want to throw it on the Auburn money line?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you want the money line?
I want Auburn plus 14, whatever that's called.
Okay, so you just want the Auburn spread. All right. Chuck, who you got?
I'm going to throw down on Nebraska, Stanford, and OK State. So I'm going to put 400 on Nebraska, 400 on Stanford, 200 OK State. Give me the dogs.
All right, so it's time for me to make up some ground, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. I'm putting all $1,000 on Stanford Cardinal.
Yeah, dear. Now you're betting like Dub does.
Mm-hmm. Going all in.
Mm-hmm.
And in theory, if this works out okay, I'm only going to be behind a couple $100 before the last 2 weeks.
Bold move, dear.
I'm trying. Hey, Chuck, maybe for like our next week, since we're not going to have enough games to get to 10, maybe we should throw out some of those FBS playoff games.
We won't have enough for – isn't next week like the championship games?
Yeah, there's not going to be 10 games though.
Because Big 12's got their random games. We'll have 10.
We may have 10 games total, yeah.
I'm looking at the schedule next week.
There's what? Army, Navy, Big 10, two Big 12 games, ACC, SEC, MAC?
Oh, whoa, dude. That's worse than the American. Don't go there.
Well, the American is their title game too, right?
Bullshit. We ain't talking about that.
Well, hey, yeah. D, I'm going to ask a dumb question. Is Frank Solich still coaching at Ohio?
Ooh, I don't know. No, I don't think so. I think he got fired. Let's see. Holy shit, he's still coaching.
Holy cow. Dude, man, talk about a fall from grace.
Dude, he's been there for 10 years now.
And then he was at Nebraska as the head coach.
He's at Nebraska for 3 years.
Nobody else wants to give him an opportunity.
No, apparently not. He's 80-60 at Ohio.
You know who's
never even won their he's never won their championship.
The world of college football is really missing Bo Pelini this year.
I looked up the record. Apparently he's doing really bad at Youngstown State. He's only got like 2 wins.
Ew.
Yeah. Even Mike Riley's doing better.
Dude, we'll have enough games next week. We're going to have to talk about some MAC football championship.
Ooh, Bowling
ACC,
Green.
ACC, Pac-12.
Bowling Green.
USA, American Athletics, SEC, Big Ten, Mountain West.
All right, we can do it, though. We can get
and to then the random Big 12 games.
Some Baylor, Texas, some
West Virginia, K-State.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right, everybody. Week 13 is in the books of the podcast. Should be a lot of good football spread out between Thursday night if you want to watch Texas play. But then after that, you got Friday, Saturday games. So a couple days of football while you're eating turkey or pass out on the couch. So, yep. All right, we're out of here.
See you. Peace.